Well, we're going to go over the verse for the week, Acts chapter number 6, verse number 10. We heard it this morning inside the morning service, and hopefully last week you had the chance to memorize your verse in Matthew chapter number 7, I think it was 24, and hopefully throughout the week you were able to think about that and meditate upon that and be able to say that you believe that we should listen to God's word. Remember, it's not just hearing it. We also have to do it. And the Lord says, liken us unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. So we learned that last week. Memory verse for this week is Acts chapter 6, verse number 10. And it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which he spake. And this is in reference to Stephen. And you say, why would you choose this? Because I want you to remember, Stephen was full of faith, also full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit of God, then this is something that God is able to do through us and with us. So let's read that all together. Acts 6:10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Let's do it one more time. Acts 6:10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Once again, very short verse, something easy for you to learn, but great thought there. So think about Stephen throughout the week. Remember, when you hear the preaching and teaching God's word, you're supposed to take it with you. And as you think about Stephen, this is what they weren't able to resist. The spirit he had, they also would not be able to resist the word. You know, this is a man that's full of faith and has the power of God on them, can do great things for God. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now to Nehemiah chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 1. On Sunday nights, we're going to have a little bit of a series called Rise Up and Build throughout the year. We'll go back and forth to the book of Nehemiah, and we'll be looking at different things we need to build upon our foundation. Last week we talked about the building upon the right foundation, and we went to that passage of scripture where it talked about Jesus Christ being the foundation, and where he talked about that if you're not only just about hearing his words, but doeth them. He says, and doeth them. It's important not just to hear, it's important to do. And we looked a couple weeks ago about this idea, seeing the need to build. We talked about how we need to see that there's something that's missing in our life, and how God desires for us to grow as Christians. God desires for us to, as we talked about, rise up and build, to leave our complacency behind. Many of us are complacent. We're smug about where we're at and thinking that we don't need to change anything, but we need to see that need and understand our need. And we went to the church of Laodicea a few weeks ago and looked at how God feels about someone who is lukewarmed. And we talked about finding our need, similar to what the choir sang about tonight. Search me, O Lord. Show me the needs that I have. I do not want to be complacent in my Christian walk. I want to rise up. I want to grow, and I want to grow and build upon a foundation that will last. So often we start in the month of January. I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this. Even in our spiritual lives, I'm going to try to grow closer to God. I'm going to become a stronger Christian. I'm going to feed the spiritual side. And you know what? We begin building to certain things. But when the winds come and the rains come, the storms come, they fall flat. We need to build upon that right foundation. We learned last week that was Jesus Christ. That was the word of Jesus Christ. Not just doing the word, hearing the words, but doing the works and the words of Jesus Christ. This week we're going to start building upon the foundation. And we're going to talk about laying the building block of prayer. Laying the building block of prayer. Or you can title a nice message, Building with Prayer. Building with prayer. We're going to look at Nehemiah and this story once again, bring you back to where we a couple weeks ago about seeing the need to build. Nehemiah heard about the desperate state that the nation of Israel was in, specifically the city of Jerusalem, specifically the walls of Jerusalem and the broken down gates that were at Jerusalem. If you go back and have a little bit of a history lesson, there was a group that went back to build the temple of Jerusalem. And because of that, they built the temple. It took a long time. And someday we'll look through those stories. And we looked at Haggai, and we talked about that earlier in the month on a Wednesday night, or at the end of last year at the Wednesday night, and we talked about how they went back and they took them a long time, but they built the temple. But people could not feel comfortable going to worship because the walls were all broken down and burned down. And because of that, people and enemies would come in and they would rob them or loot them. And because of that, Nehemiah, when he hears this, he knows that there was another group under Ezra that went back to build the walls. And some reason or another reason, they looked inwardly and they stopped building. And so nothing is happening. And in verse number 2 and 3, it talks about how Nehemiah sees some of his kinsmen, some of his brothers. And it says in verse number 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity." This is what's going on in Jerusalem. "They're in providence, are in great affliction and reproach." And this is Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 3. "Great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And he is compassionate. He sees the need here. He doesn't say, "Oh well, that's sad for them. Oh well, somebody should do something." See how he responds to seeing this need. "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." So I want you to understand here tonight that Nehemiah saw the need. So what's the next step? You see the need to build. You see the need to change. You see the need to just rise up from your spot that you are, so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not being satisfied, but instead saying, "Hey, I desire more. I want more." As Paul talked about, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. A yearning, a burning inside. I want to be a better Christian. I want to grow closer to God. Remember, this year, we're looking to grow. We started in January 1st, and at the end of the year, we want to look back in our life this past year and see that we have grown as a Christian, that we've grown closer to God. And that's where our theme song comes in. It's a finish line. We've saying this year, let's set aside this year and say, what can I do to help grow? But it's got to be built upon the right foundation. So once we're building upon the right foundation, let's look at laying this building block of prayer. Nehemiah now goes and prays. And as you see, this is one of the great prayers of the Bible. And we've got some things in here that we can look at and that we can learn and that can help us in our own prayer lives. Let's go ahead and read this prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 5. And it says, "And said, I beseech thee." This word "beseech" is referring to God. He is begging. He's begging God. He says, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe him, his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." We're going to look in here and we're going to see probably about 5 or 6 different things that can help us in our prayer lives. Some of these things might be repetitive. Some of these things might be things that you know, but I don't know a person that wants to know God better that does not want to help, encourage, and grow in their prayer life. They know that they can always do more. One preacher said, every problem you have is a prayer problem. And if you turn it over to the Lord, He will answer your prayers. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight as we look at building with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. God, we're in need of you. Lord, we once again know that it can't be about people or humans, Lord. It's got to be by your Spirit. Lord, we need your Spirit to speak and teach the things that are being said tonight. Lord, give me the words you want said, and Lord, help them to apply to different areas of their lives. Lord, help us to rise up and say, I want to be a better prayer warrior. I want to pray more. I want to understand you more. I want to be able to pray like Nehemiah and get my prayers answered. Lord, I pray you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a couple things I think will help you. First thing is prayer should always involve praise. Prayer should always involve in praise. And this is where it begins is, first of all, you got to see the need. And I think if we looked at the world around us, we would say, you know what? The world is in a mess. Just not the world. Christianity, in a sense, is in a mess. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things that need to change in individuals' lives and in families' lives and churches' lives. And it's not getting better. It seems like it's getting worse. And you know what? We see a need here. But what do we do about it? Nehemiah teaches us something. We go to him in prayer. But as we go, it must involve praise. We must learn to see God for who he is. You look what it says in verse number 5. It says, and I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. He's talking about his superiority. This word terrible is talking about a sense of reverence. It's talking about a sense of an awe, not something that people misuse and misunderstand. This word terrible, when it refers to Bible times, is referring to it's a reverence of God and how great he is. He speaks about his superiority. Then he speaks about his strength here. He says, that keepeth the covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. It's speaking of his strength and his sovereignty. And then in verse number 8, he reminds him, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest. It speaks of his sincerity. He praises God for who he is. Now, anytime if we really, truly are going to pray, we have to see two things. We have to see and believe who God is, and we have to see and understand who we are. As we see and we believe that God is our Father, which is in heaven, which is the beginning of the model prayer, but we see him up high and lifted up, and we know that we can go to him. We can approach him by faith and say, Lord, please help me here. But he begins saying, Lord, we understand who you are. And we see who we are. What do you mean? Well, you see over and over in this passage of scripture, Nehemiah calls himself thy servant. In verse number 8, he says thy servant. In verse number 11, he says the prayer of thy servant. Over and over, he says, I am your servant. I understand who I am, and I see who you are. You are the great and terrible God. You have been the God that took us out of the land of Egypt. You're the God that has brought us through the Red Sea. You're the God who won the battle of Jericho. You brought us all the way to this spot. I see who you are, and I praise you for who you are. You've been merciful all this time. You see in verse number 5, he says, for them that, and he says, you've been merciful, keepeth the covenant, merciful. You know what you need to understand is get a good picture of who God is. If we will learn that God is who he says he is, then we'll want to pray. It's full of faith. It's this idea here. Here is God. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to approach him. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to send revival. And we see him and we say we believe who he is. But how often do we pray? If we truly want to build on our prayer lives, we truly want to build a foundation, we truly want to get out of complacency, it starts here. We see the need and we begin to pray. But as we pray, we got to remember who we're praying to. The Bible says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what is this saying here? He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be lifted up on high, as the choir sang about this morning. Glory to his name, like we heard about tonight. It's this idea here that he is God. And we need to say, I know that you are God, and I know that I am your servant. You know what that does? It puts us on the right playing field. So often we turn and we say, God, I want you to give me this. That's not me seeing you as God and me as servant. That's me saying, you need to listen to me. Sometimes it discourages me when I see a child telling their parent what they should do. And sometimes it makes you want to just snatch them. I guess, is that a good word? And say, look, don't you realize that's your parent? You're the child. There's something wrong and mixed up in this relationship. And when we go before God without at least a thought of adoration and a thought of praise and saying, Lord, I see who you are, and I will, it's a humbleness that we see. You see, at the end of verse number 11, it says, for I was the king's cupbearer. At the end of verse number 11, he turns around and he says, look, and he doesn't make a big deal out of it. He says, I was the king's cupbearer. Now, we might think that's a kind of a corny job. It's the guy who drinks something or eats something before the king does to make sure he doesn't get poisoned. But back then, in that day and time, it was a high and lifted up position. It was the one who would sit next to the king and would have the king's ear and would be able to counsel the king. And Nehemiah would have been probably one of the highest ranking Jewish people in all the nations. But you don't see him going before God and saying, hey, God, it's me down here. Hey, I am the king's cupbearer. The king of the world listens to me. Now you need to listen. No, he leaves that at the end. He's humble here. And that's what, when we go before God, we need to be humble people. And we need to see who he is and see who we are. Our prayer lives will increase. They will build when we understand who he is. Revival begins with the fear of the Lord. And that's what he talked about in Habakkuk this past week. He says, I heard thy speech and was afraid. He was praying for revival, but he says, look, I heard thy speech. I got a glimpse of who you are, and it made me fearful because I know what you can do. And that's when we come before God. It's a reverence and a respect and say, Lord, I don't deserve even to be able to pray to you. Thank you for letting me come to you as your child. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for... And that's when we get excited about singing. That's when we get excited about when we see who he is, and then we remember all the benefits. He's offered salvation. He offers us a avenue, a way to get to him through prayer. And that's... It begins with praise. And you keep on going. It not only begins with praise, but it should be persistent. It should be persistent. You look what it says here in verse number 6. And he says, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Now look at the next phrase, which I pray before thee now day and night. Nehemiah prayed day and night. He got before the Lord and prayed until the answer came. This is the kind of praying that really makes a difference. It has persistence to it. Jesus himself said he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. This is the kind of prayer that goes before God and stays before God and says, God, I have to have your answer. God, I need to hear from you. God, I am asking for something that only you can do. And there, no one else can do this for me. I'm asking for you to do something that is supernatural. I'm asking for you. And that's what Nehemiah is saying here. I want you to move the heart of the king to let me leave this position to go help. He's saying, move the heart of a king? God can, remember, the heart of the king's in God's hands. He can move the heart of any individual he chooses to, or he can get rid of that individual, as he did with Nebuchadnezzar. And here he says, after this prayer was... He said, well, who prays like that day and night? As a person who sees a need to build. If you really truly pray out of a heart that has a genuine burden, you will not be satisfied until that is answered. If you are praying with a need or with a burden that your heart needs to hear from God, you will not be satisfied until you get the answer. And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is wait, but you have to hear from God. You see the need. You want to grow. You want to see a change. It's day and night. Nehemiah comes to him day and night. I wonder how many of us pray day and night, much less about one certain thing. I know you say, Pastor, how long and how often am I supposed to pray? It says pray without ceasing. You say, well, how can a person do that? It's because of the fact you always have your mindset on God and seeing who he is and who we are and asking for him to work in your heart and life. This is the kind of prayer that goes to God and stays before God until it has happened or until he gives you an answer. Next thing I want you to see is this prayer should involve penitence. And as we're talking about repentance here, look what it says in verses 6 and 7. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. Now listen, pay attention here. Children of Israel, which we have sinned. Now he doesn't go back and he doesn't blame the years before the captivity when they were sent into captivity. The idol worship. He says, he uses the word we. He's confessing that he knows he's a sinner. He is seeing himself in God's eyes and he's sinned against thee. Both I, he says, he's saying, look, I have sinned and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So we see this involves repentance. What we need to see here is a man with a repentant heart. This is essential. And seeing our prayers answered, we must come to him with a clean heart. It begins with the confession of his own sins. Then he begins to confess his sins as a nation. And I tell you, if we ever want to see revival in our own lives, I know this series is intended for us personally. It's for us to look at our own lives and say, I'm tired of being lazy or lackluster in my Christian life. I'm tired of being complacent and I want to push forward. I want to grow. I want to learn this year that I can be closer to God. But if we ever want to change for our nation, we're going to have to first get right with God and then confess the sins of our nation too to God as we see here and ask God for mercy and ask God to turn his nation back. Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does the Bible mean there? It means if we have known sin in our hearts and known sin in our lives and we do not want to get right and we do not want to give it over to the Lord, that means that whatever that sin has become an idol in your life and has replaced God on the throne. And God says until you get rid of that idol, until you get rid of that sin, I'm not going to hear your prayers. Our prayer lives must be ones that involve praise. They must be persistence and they must have penitence involved. It's important to understand that Nehemiah was not just interested in talking about where others had gone wrong. He was willing to see where he himself had missed the boat with God. And repentance is about getting my heart right with God. As we go to him, we say, Lord, I want a clean heart. I say, why is that so important? The Bible says he's not going to hear your prayers. You know, we have become sometimes routine or mechanical about things. Sometimes we've gotten to the spot where we say, okay, I've read my 3 chapters today. I'm checking it off. I prayed for 10 minutes. I'm checking it off. No, that's not what prayer it is. That's not what the prayer here is talking about. The prayer that changes things will involve repentance. Here's another thing. I think maybe you don't hear every time when you hear about a message about prayer. Prayer should involve promises. Prayer should involve promises. Look what it says in verses 8 and 9. Nehemiah is arguing, not arguing, but he's praying back to God, and he's saying, God, remember, you promised us this. Look what it says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses. So he is reminding God of his promise. He's saying, Lord, you said this, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Lord, we have scattered you abroad. You did what you said you would do. But it says in verse number 9, but if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. One of the things I think is important to involve into our prayer lives is to learn some wonderful biblical promises or prayer promises and say, God, you've promised us that we will reap what we've sowed. And we give that over to the Lord. Lord, I keep on sowing. I keep on sowing. Lord, help me to reap this harvest. And over, there's plenty of promises in the Bible that we can hold to. Lord, you've promised me that I won't lack. Lord, you've promised me safety. Lord, you promised me you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And when he's praying, he's saying, Lord, now you remember, you told us that if we sin, you're going to scatter us abroad. But you say, if we will turn back to you, you'll gather us up and you'll bring us back together. He said, Lord, that's what I'm trying to do here. This is what I'm trying to do. I am trying to do what you've asked me to do, Lord, here. I want you to honor your word. And the Bible says over and over, he is a just God. He cannot lie. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Psalms 138:2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, God is saying that I will put my reputation not as high as my word. My word is more valuable than that. And his name is a name that's above all names. And he says, I will keep my word. So as we learn to pray, let's remember to be persistent. Let's remember to have praise. Let's remember to have penitence. But also, let's involve prayers and involve the promises. I don't know about you, but you ever had your child that come up to you and say, Mom, Dad, let's get ready to go do this. And you forgot about it. And they look at you and say, but you promised me you would do it. You promised me that you would come. You promised that you would give me this. You promised me if I would keep my room clean that I could have this new toy. You promised me. And this is the idea here. Lord, you've promised me. I am doing the best I can, Lord. This is the best I know how. Lord, now you have promised me that I can, you'll do this for me. Now, turn to God. Now, he might show you other areas you need to clean up. He might show you other areas that you need to work on. But if you're holding on to a promise of God and some reason doesn't seem like the answer is coming or doesn't seem like it's working, you know what? There's something wrong because God keeps his word. Not only is it prayer should involve promises, prayer is better with partners. Prayer is better with partners. Now, look what it says in verse number 11. It says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine eye be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. He's referring to himself. And then next phrase, and to the prayer of thy servants. Nehemiah is reminding God that he's not the only one involved in this prayer effort. He might have been the one destined to be the leader. He might have been the one destined to rise up to the occasion and have a book written about him or named after him. But he had others that were praying too. I think it's good to share our burdens with one another. And I'm not talking about gossip. I'm not talking about, let me tell you the latest dirt on so-and-so so we can pray for them where all you want to do is hear the dirt. No, I'm talking about finding someone that you can have a fellowship with and a friendship with and be able to share your burdens and carry one another's burdens. And when someone says, hey, I'll pray for you, they actually mean it. He's saying, look, it's praying together. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It's so much better to have someone encouraging you along the way. It's so much better to get more people involved. I know prayer request time to some people was a little bit boring, or some people might feel like, why do we have to hear all this? But what people are doing, and hopefully they're using good profitable time here saying, look, I have a need, and I'm hoping that every person in this room will get behind me with this need and will pray and will ask God to come. I remember Mike Thurman when he one time says, you know what? When you're sharing requests and that person is sharing that request, you can in your mind be praying to God saying, God, please help them. Because it doesn't have to be, prayer doesn't have to be us bow our heads and us close our eyes. We know somebody leads in prayer, but as someone's talking about a certain prayer request, our heart can go out to them and say, you know, Lord, please help that person. Maybe we don't all get to lead in prayer, and that's when a person is leading in prayer, you are also praying along with them, silently, going to God, petitioning to God, and I don't know how God can hear all those prayers. I was with the kids yesterday, and I got the privilege of teaching the lesson, and I said, I don't know how hundreds of people at one time can be praying to God, and God can understand every prayer. When we talked about the story of blind Bartimaeus, when we talked about how Jesus stood still and listened to him, and I said that God will stop and listen to your prayers. I don't know how all that works, but I know he's God and he has promised to hear our prayers. And here's the point. It's so much better with partners. So much better to have someone else go along with you. Because it's more than just one person praying. It's multiple. Here's the last point, and I think this is one that we probably should drive home a little bit. Prayer involves making things personal. Prayer involves making things personal. Look what it says in verse number 11 once again. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine eye be attended to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. Now here goes. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. So we see Nehemiah going before God and saying, God, give me mercy in the sight of the king. He's saying, look, I'm sitting next to the king. I got this lofty, cushy position. I'm willing to leave this to face persecution. I'm willing to leave my place of comfort to go build a wall. Lord, I'm asking you. He's saying, Lord, if you want to send me, go ahead and send me. I'm volunteering for the job. I see the need. I have the burden. I'm willing to pray for it. But God, I will now make this personal. I'm willing to be the person that goes and does your job for you. This is where it really comes down. Are we willing to be able to do what God asks us to do? You know, we all probably know the model prayer. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know, when we're praying that, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we got to make that personal. Because I can't decide to do God's will for you. And you can't decide to do God's will for me. But when I say, "Lord, thy will be done in earth," you know what I'm saying? Lord, I want your will done in my life. This is about, I can't control anybody else. I can't speak up for anybody else. I can't talk for anybody else. But for me, Lord, I want you to do your will through me. It's personal. And it's, when our prayers, they ought to be an expression of our needs before the Lord. Nehemiah finally gets around to what's on his heart. At this moment, he's merely praying for the Lord to give him grace in the sight of the king. He knows that to prevail with man, he must prevail before God. And he's saying here, "Lord, I can't change the king's thought pattern. I can't make him let me go. Lord, you're going to have to do the work." So why would Nehemiah ask that? Well, God tells us, "Let your request be made known unto God." Yesterday in that story, when I got to talk to the kids, and most of you have heard me preach about Bartimaeus at least once, maybe twice, because I enjoyed the story. God worked in my heart a long time ago in that story. The Lord looked at Bartimaeus, this blind guy, and there was hundreds of thousands of people around, and this blind man comes to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, he says, "What will thou have me to do?" The whole crowd knew that Bartimaeus wanted to see. I asked the little 9-year-old boy yesterday, what did Bartimaeus want Jesus to do? He says he wanted to be healed. That's, everybody knew that. Why would Jesus ask that? Jesus wanted to hear Bartimaeus say, "God, I cannot do this. I need your help. Lord, please help me." And he was specific, "That I might receive my sight." And I, you know, he could ask for a new seeing eye dog. He could ask for a cane. He could ask for money so he could live off of. No. He asked God for the supernatural. And he said, "Lord, I want you to do something that only you can do." And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be personal, and he wants us to bring these requests to him. God wants us to hear verbalize, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." Say, "Well, I don't need bread." No. God wants you to recognize everything you have comes from him. He could take it away in a second. He wants you to realize that you're completely and utterly dependent upon him for all you have and all you want, all he wants you to do. And yes, even the most basic needs to the supernatural ones, God wants to hear you say, "Lord, I know I need you. Lord, please help me with this." See, this is where we lay a building block of prayer upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. If we're going to rise up and build, as we plant this block here, we put it on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it doesn't move because we've made it personal and we want God's help. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Thy will be done in my life. Lord, here am I in. Here am I. Use me." J. Vernon McGee, was reading through his commentary, and he wrote this about verse number 4 we started with. It talked about how he mourned and he prayed and he fasted. It says in verse number 4, he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. He saw the need. Here's what he said. "Today the cause of Christ is in jeopardy. I wonder if those who criticize and pretend to be interested are really concerned. If the thing you are criticizing does not break your heart, then stop criticizing it. There is too much talk and not enough tears. You are not God's messenger if the message doesn't cause you to personally anguish. If it does not burden you, then we must first see the need. But after we see the need, this is how we pray. It always involves praise. We always see who God is and who we are. It involves with persistency. If you think you can get accomplished in a day or two, if you can forget about it after a few days, then it's not really truly a burden. It involves repentance. It means that there is nothing in my life that is more important than God and getting my prayer answered. It helps when you have partners, but it must be made personal. What is it that we want God to do? Do we really, truly want God to grow us closer to Him this year? We got to lay down the block of prayer. We got to say, I'm building this, Lord, for You and for Your glory. I'm going to learn how to pray like You asked me to pray. Prayer is something that probably most of us, if not all of us, would say, I need to get better at. And by God's grace and with God's help, I'm going to try to do better this year with prayer. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.